But within the corporate promise, there is always an individual promise to the people of God, right? Because we're part of the corporate body. And so when he says, I am with you always to the end of the age, he means it. It's a promise. It's true. He's with us in the very wonderful times where it is easy to see it at the end of a day, the great blessings of God. He's also with us in the very dark times where it seems that he's not. And he's been with Daphne. And he'll continue to be. And he'll be with you to the very end of the age, because he promised. And Daphne's going to just come share this morning with some of the ways in which perhaps she has been able to see that.
Well, I should have known it was coming. Ken just happened to be outside responding to a text as I came around the corner of the church. I walked up to him and we had some small talk, and then he told me that he had a question for me and that I could say no. Does that sound familiar to anyone? Then he asked me if I would be willing to share at our sunrise service how God has been faithful through these past 26 and a half months. I remember my response. Well, I'm not saying no. I'm really not sure why I said that. I guess I was considering it, but wasn't ready to commit to it just yet. A few days later, I was beginning to read one of my devotionals. The scripture listed was Psalms 107:2. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. That verse caught my attention. I had always seen it as let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So I decided to Google what it meant. The answer, for the redeemed of the Lord to tell their story means to publicly testify to God's personal rescue, grace, and faithfulness in their lives. At that moment, I just grinned and said, okay, Lord, I hear you. I'll do it. I told Ken that very day that my answer was yes. So here is my personal story of the goodness of God over the past 26 and a half months. Most of y'all know that Chris and I were high school sweethearts. We were married for 42 years, 7 months, and 2 days. Since our first date, we'd been together just shy of 48 years. We had done a lot of life together. We were best friends, and I loved the life that we had. And like many couples, we planned to grow old together. He had loved me well. When he died suddenly and unexpectedly, I was in utter shock. In literally the blinking of an eye, he was gone, and my world as I was accustomed to was changed forever. His death was the most devastating thing that had ever happened to me in my entire life. I remember returning home from the hospital that night and just sitting on our bed with Chris's Bible open. I was looking for things that he had noted and underlined and was reading them. I didn't know what else to do but to turn to scripture. I looked back at my devotional reading from that morning. The title was Finding Rest, and the scripture was Psalms 23. I had read that Psalms many times and had memorized it as a child. As I slowly read it again, it became very personal to me. God is my loving shepherd who provides, protects, and guides his people through both peaceful times and dark valleys. I was in a dark valley, but was being reminded that God was present and that he would provide comfort and protection. It had begun snowing the day before, and we ended up with about 7 inches of snow, and people were pretty much stuck at home for the rest of the following week. During that time, Andrew, Sarah, and I had a lot of time to talk, reminisce, and to begin processing things. Early on, I began to recognize the goodness of God in many ways. Chris had broken his ankle in January of 2023 and was off work. He'd been at home resting and taking baby aspirin for about a month before his heart attack that February. I firmly believe that with him resting and taking the baby aspirin, that that helped him survive that heart attack, and that God allowed us to have an additional 11 months together. We had more time together, and we talked more about things that mattered. And I'm so thankful that we had that extra time. I began writing down everything that I could remember of his last day on this earth. We attended church together and enjoyed a soup and chili potluck afterwards. We sat and ate with the very fireman that would rush to our home just 6 hours later. He got to spend time with his church family, with his mother-in-law, his son, two of his grandsons, with his mother, and with me. It had been a good day, and I recognized that as a gift from God. Most of you know how much Chris disliked the summer months. He was always hot, and in the summer, he was really hot. I had been concerned many times with the possibility of him having a heat stroke. So what a sweet gift that Chris would take his last breath on a freezing cold day with snow steadily coming down. Other than what I wrote in my journal, I can't remember much about that first year without Chris. I know I cried a lot. I know I was emotionally fragile. A couple of things that I wrote in my journal from that time period were that when the tightening in your chest makes it hard to breathe, then inhale prayer and exhale praise. I began doing just that more times than I could count. I also wrote down a quote that stated, "My tears are the words with which I tell God my pain." I know that there were days it was hard to get up and go, but I also knew that God is always faithful. He showed me grace through people, circumstances, scripture, readings, and songs. I received cards, notes, phone calls, flowers, and even smiles from people at just the right time. God has always met me where I was, and he showed up over and over again for me. I want to share several experiences that I've had over the past 2 years and share with you the goodness of God throughout this transition in my life. In January of 2024, our women's group had just started a new Bible study entitled Pursued, God Relentless Love for You. I usually facilitated the lesson each month. After Chris's death, several of the women volunteered to lead the lesson for a while, and that was a huge blessing. I still attended the meetings, but didn't participate quite as much. In looking back, I had jotted down the main point of that first lesson after Chris's death. It was, God never wants to waste a hurt. He can turn your greatest suffering into your greatest ministry if you'll allow it. It was something that I needed to hear at that time, and I realized that was God sending more grace my way. I'm thankful that God pursued me, and I felt his presence with me. That first year of all the firsts was really challenging. My mornings used to be filled with drinking coffee and talking with Chris in the living room before heading off to work. My new normal was listening to praise and worship songs in the morning to help break the silence as I got ready. I've continued to do that, and I would highly recommend it to everyone. It's a great way to start your day. In fact, music has been another blessing from God. I vividly remember hearing the song, "I Still Believe" by Brian Johnson. When I first heard it and listened to the words, I cried. For the longest time, I cried every time I sang that song, sometimes weeping uncontrollably. That song was so impactful on me because it put into words what I had not been able to express, and I wanted to share with you the first part of that song.
Give up. I choose to trust when my whole world is
that song came at just the right time in my life. And I'm so thankful that God never has and never will give up on me. As I mentioned earlier, I began reading a lot about grief early on and continued journaling. Each article mentioned how difficult it was to go through the first after losing someone. I asked Andrew in September to bring the Christmas tree down from the attic. I decided that if I decorated it for fall, that it would be easier to transition into Christmas. In late October, I decided that the tree would become my gratitude tree during the month of November. Each morning after my devotional, I would write on a cardboard leaf something that I was grateful for, and then I would hang it on the tree. At the end of the month, I had a loaded tree of colorful leaves and a visual of the many blessings that God had given me. That has become a new tradition that I look forward to, and I feel that that helped create a smoother transition into December, and putting ornaments on the tree was a little easier. During that first year, I continued to see God's grace in other ways. There were two specific instances that I remember well where God didn't change the situation, but he changed my perspective. The first occurred when I was talking with a friend one day who had lost her husband to cancer several years earlier. I mentioned to her during our conversation that I thought that I would spend the rest of my life with Chris. She said, "Yes, I know, but instead you got to spend the rest of his life with him." What a wonderful perspective. I got to be his wife for the rest of his life. What a blessing. I'm so thankful for the years that we had together. The other situation concerning perspective happened when I was heading to work one morning. It was getting close to Christmas. I was listening to the radio, and the song, "I'll Be Home for Christmas," came on. I can remember crying and saying, "No, Chris won't be home for Christmas." Here it was early in the morning, and I was crying again. I remember praying and asking God to help me keep it together and to help me be grateful for the Christmases that we'd had together. That afternoon on the way home, I was listening to the radio, and you guessed it, the song "I'll Be Home for Christmas" came on. That time, it was like a light bulb went off. Yes, Chris would be home for Christmas. He had made it to his eternal home. I was able to smile then and thank God for his goodness in helping me see things differently. Going into the second year without Chris was more of a reflective time. Reality had set in. I had gone from we to me, and it was difficult at times. What we once did together was not the same without him. I'd lost the part of myself that was a wife to my husband, and I'd been struggling without that part of my identity. Our women's group began a new Bible study by Max Lucado called Unshakable Hope. As part of the introduction, I read, "You can choose to build your life on the unbreakable promises of God. As you do, you will find that you will have a hope that is unshakable. While the rain will still fall, the streams will still rise, and the winds will still blow, in the end, you will be standing securely anchored in the promises of God." Again, I was being reminded that I needed to continue to build my life on the firm foundation of God's promises. And this study has continued to benefit me personally as we continue to work through it. Early last spring, I can remember having a really hard morning. Chris had driven a company truck, and I saw it in a familiar place, and I just became overwhelmed with tears. I drove home. It was a beautiful day, so I began working in the flower bed. I was sobbing and thinking about how we used to talk while working in the flower beds together, and then I uncovered a little treasure, a York peppermint patty wrapper. That brought a smile to my face. Why? Chris liked those, and he used to keep those in the freezer, and the kids referred to them as geezer's mints. I have heard that people often refer to moments like that as coincidence or God winks. But whatever you choose to call it, I recognized it as the goodness of God. He had placed it there for me to find on a day when I needed to be reminded that he saw me and knew my pain. In July of last year, I had the privilege of attending the baptism of one of our grandsons. As he gave his profession of faith, tears welled up in my eyes. Part of what he said was, "When my grandpa died, it felt like there was a big hole in my life that nothing could fill. God used that moment to draw me close to him. I trusted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I need him to forgive my sins and be the one that I look up to and lean on more than anyone or anything else in my life. I'm so thankful that I was able to witness the goodness of God working in Isaiah's heart as we all mourn Chris's death." I had read that during grief, we need some time for solitude. We need time when we can rest, reflect on our loss, and regain some emotional energy. A family member of mine has a cabin at Kentucky Lake, and I've been there a few times by myself over the past year and a half. One of those times was August of last year. I'd spent time reading scripture, praying, reading a book, and doing some journaling out by the lake on Saturday. On Sunday morning, even before I opened my eyes, I recalled the word "released" came to mind. I opened my eyes and reached to look at my phone to see what time it was. When I looked at the phone, I thought that I saw a gift wrapped with a big red bow. The next thoughts that went through my mind were, "Chris was a gift. You accepted the gift. You unwrapped the gift. You enjoyed the gift. He was a gift." What a profound moment that was for me. Chris left an imprint on my heart that will always be there, and I'll continue to miss him, but I have been released from the weight of the longing to go back and have what we had. I quickly got my pen and journaled what had just happened, and then I turned on some praise and worship music. The first song was "Seed of Faith" by Charity Gale. I'm sure that I'd heard it before, but at that time it was clear to me that God had heard my prayers. In part, the song says, "I'm reaching, barely breathing. Do you see me here below? I believe you, but help me see you. I need to know that you're near me, Lord. Fear not, I am the Lord your God, and trust that I'm working all things out. So in the field of doubt, plant a seed of faith, and I'll send the rain. Yes, I'll send the rain. So let it rain, because things start to change. Bring the rain, and it won't stay the same. From glory to glory, you're writing my story. When it rains, let it rain." A large part of my life story included Chris. It was as if I was being reminded that I still have a story. It's still being written. It's just a new chapter, and it's all for God's glory. And I don't understand how, but I now have a peace that passes all understanding, and that, dear friend, is truly a gift of God. I recognize another example of God's goodness this past September when Isaiah wanted to take a model ship to school to show his fifth grade class. He and Chris had worked on it together some, but Chris had passed away before they finished it. A few months later, I'd ask Isaiah if he would like to finish it, and he jumped at the chance. He finished in a matter of days. He had asked his teacher if he could bring it in to show the class. His teacher took a picture of Isaiah with the ship and put it in her weekly newsletter with a caption. "This week, Isaiah wanted to show and tell about a ship that he had made. When presenting and explaining how he'd made it with his grandfather, he became emotional since his grandfather has since passed away. That vulnerable moment turned into a special conversation for the whole class about how important our grandparents are in our lives. Several students teared up while sharing their favorite memories, and it just became a special morning. I'm so thankful for our grandchildren and that God used Chris as a positive influence in their lives. In a recent devotional I read, I want to leave you with the word hope, true, authentic hope, based on God's promises. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-14 states, "We do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. For the believer, beyond the grave is life, life eternal. The past 26 and a half months have oftentimes been challenging, but the goodness of God has continued to show up time and time again. And all the glory goes to God that I can stand here today and testify to his goodness and faithfulness. It reminds me of the song, He Lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. So whatever circumstances and challenges each of us is facing, I would encourage you to remember what we were promised in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. As we each look toward the future, we are told not to fear. Look to God and rejoice in his sovereignty. The nice thing about the future is that it will come just one day at a time, and his mercies are new every morning. We just have to open our eyes and see them for what they are, the goodness of God. I pray that sharing some of my experiences from the last 2 years has given you some insight into God's faithfulness in my life. What he's done for me, he can also do for you. He has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He's not only a promise maker, he's a promise keeper. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has been faithful to me not only over the past 2 years, but every day of my life. And I'm confident that as he continues to unfold my story, that he will remain faithful until the end. For great is his faithfulness.